Nick Davies, how are you?
Hi Nick, how are you? I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Thanks for coming on today.
No problem at all.
I wanted just to start by giving you a brief introduction. You're Daryl Mitchell, currently the Director of Cricket Operations for the Professional Cricketers Association. You're a professional cricketer yourself, playing for Worcestershire County Cricket Club. A batsman, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Am I right in saying that you were the chairman right up until recently and this is a new position you've started?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I was chairman for 4 years, two terms of 2 years as elected by my peers, and then that finished on last Thursday, actually, so only last week. And then stay on with the PCA in this new role as of last Friday. So, yeah, exciting time for myself personally, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. Could you give us a broad idea of what the PCA is?
Yeah, so it's a professional cricket association. Our sort of motto, if you like, is championing the best interests of professional cricketers in England and Wales. Obviously, there's three sides to the operation, really. The trade union, PCA, as it is obviously a trade union like any other, effective, looking after employment rights, etc.
Yeah.
PCAM is our commercial business, effectively. A lot of events and cricket hospitality and the commercial side of it. And then you've got the Professional Cricketers Trust, which is our charity that looks after current and former professional cricketers that have fallen on hard times.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I did see on Twitter, I think it was last summer, you were doing a walk for the Cricketers Trust.
Yeah, so I think we did the Three Peaks last October, I think it was October 4. So yeah, the Three Peaks.
Okay.
A load of cricketers went up the mountains, effectively, in order to raise money for the trust. We did a big bike ride previously, which sort of started at Edgbaston in Birmingham, went up to Sheffield across the Crewe, down to Worcester, Monmouth, and then finished at Cardiff. That was the third one of, that's the only one I've done, but that was the third one out of the three big bike ride series. We're doing Paris to London next October as well.
Oh, brilliant.
So yeah, there's been a lot of big events over the years trying to raise money for a fantastic cause.
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to sort of go right back to the beginning. How did you get into cricket? Was it through school or was it a hobby to begin with?
I think my dad's influence more than anything, really. I've got the baby photos with a little sort of mini bat in the cot, obviously, when I've not long been born, and mum tells stories of me sitting in front of the test match when it used to be on the BBC, it's sort of 2-3 years old, and sitting there for sort of 5 or 6 hours at a time. It's always sort of something that I love from the very beginning. I mean, football as well. I mean, I'm a massive sports nut, really. I watch any sports, but football and cricket were my two sports as a kid, really. And obviously, I saw the seasons have sort of merged a little bit now, so it's a bit more difficult. But back then, you used to be able to obviously football in the winters and cricket in the summers. Went from there, really. Played a little bit at school, but not a lot. And I got playing for the county under age groups teams. I think I was 10, so under 11s. Went right through the system, academy, second team, into the first team.
And you've been at the top for quite some time now. You were playing while you were still chairman, and you're playing while you're doing the same position, is that right?
Yeah, I'm still playing, yeah. So the chairman actually has to be a current player. It's elected by the membership. I think we've got about 500 members now. We've just taken on another 40 female members with the development of the regional centres, with 5 professional cricketers at each one of those. So, yeah, that's elected by the membership. But, yeah, I've played since I turned professional at university contract in 2003, I think,
and sure.
Made my debut in 2005, and got obviously played a lot of cricket in that period, and then sort of, I think I was interested, really. I was just very much set up going down the coaching route for post cricket, whenever that was, and then PCA rep for a little while, captain of Worcestershire. I finished being captain of Worcestershire, and the chairman's role sort of cropped up, so I went for that, applied for that, and fortunately got elected. And I guess the sort of last 4 years has sort of shaped my life beyond cricket, really, in terms of sports administration. It's definitely something I'm very passionate about, something I really enjoy the chairman's role. Obviously, there's a lot gone on, particularly in the last 12 months. So, created an interest in me and the opportunity to stay on with the PCA. Initially, part-time, I was still contracted to Worcestershire for the rest of this coming season until October, and then I guess there'll be a discussion to be had in sort of July, August, whether that continues part-time when I play again, or, I mean, I'll be nearly 38 then, so in reality, cricket's not going to last forever. It's going to come to an end at some point. I guess we'll have those discussions between Worcestershire, the PCA, and myself, and see what fits moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. How has it been through the pandemic? Right when it hit, was all sports affected? Was cricket hit instantly?
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, our season was due to start at the beginning of April and was put on hold effectively. We didn't get out on the field until August, so we missed four out of 6 months of that season. And obviously knock-on effect, there was no crowds, everything that we did play was behind closed doors, so the revenues generated from ticket sales, food and beverage, and dice, whatever, literally disappeared.
Wow. Yeah.
Off the face of the earth, really. I mean, we're very fortunate. County cricket in this country is very much bankrolled by the ECB, and key to that is the Sky broadcasting deal, and getting the international cricket off during last summer was in those sort of biosecure bubbles that you might have seen.
Yes.
That was absolutely paramount. I think the game as a whole was staring down the barrel of about 380 million it was due to lose if we didn't get those series off. Unfortunately, we managed to get a full program international cricket off last season, and then obviously got the revenue due from the broadcast deal because of that. And I think as the game as a whole has probably lost about 100 million is sort of figure that's banding around at the moment. So
okay.
Still not great, but a lot better than it could have been.
It was just stopping the hemorrhaging, wasn't it, I guess, in that respect. And then do you now have to have some plans, maybe a five-year plan to sort of bring it back, or do you think it will just come back naturally?
The broadcast deal in place is for 5 years, so it's very fortunate that last year was the first year of that broadcast deal, so that money is guaranteed for the next 4 years effectively, and obviously that feeds down to the counties, to the recreational game, etc. So it's not in a bad position. Obviously crowds this summer will be important, and obviously looking at full crowds potentially by the 21st of June.
Okay.
Which is obviously very, very important to revenue streams.
Yeah.
But even between 25 and 50% crowds back as early as I think it's the 16th of May as well. So, so that probably you're only missing crowds for about a month. Hopefully that will generate and keep membership money in particular within the games. Obviously, we start with Red Bull Cricket, which is generally the members and that come and watch that. It's looking more positive this year, certainly, but obviously the ECB have done a brilliant job, to be fair, and probably as a trade union executive, probably not too often that you're backing the governing body, I suppose. But yeah, they've done a brilliant job in keeping the money, getting the money back down to counties and keeping the game going, and made some good decisions over the last 12 months that cricket's in a relatively strong position to be able to bounce back this year, hopefully.
Brilliant, and that's good to hear. Worcester has quite a strong following, doesn't it, Worcestershire? The ground gets flooded every year, pretty much, but I mean, by the time summer comes round, you enjoy a lot of support there, so I think people will just be gagging to get back in, won't they, as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We're very lucky at Worcester. We've got a very strong membership, and we get good crowds for the four-day cricket through that, and then obviously once the T20 start and the weather brightens up and those sort of Friday nights and Sunday afternoons, we get some very good crowds. Obviously, I think city centre location helps that, particularly on the sort of after-work crowd coming down to watch the cricket. Yeah, we're very lucky that we get some packed houses, particularly the Warwickshire game, obviously, is the big one, Birmingham Bears, as they're called now. So, we're fortunate to have a good home crowd, and they certainly get behind the boys, and the revenue generated off the back of those big crowds is very important for the club to keep going.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so you were running the PCA chairmanship over the last 4 years. I just wanted to read something that I read on The Cricketer. It says, it was somebody talking about you saying, to manage to do both things very well, he's done a phenomenal job, he's rock solid cricketer. On the flip side of that, he's having to negotiate with the ECB and 18 counties at the same time. He's trying to keep 18 changing rooms happy through the reps. It's an unbelievable workload, and he's done brilliantly. You obviously have massive respect amongst your peers. Is leadership something that you've obviously really taken to it? Do you feel like you've always been a leader? Where do you think you got your leadership from?
I mean, I captained cricket teams at a very young age. So the age group through Worcestershire's age group size, I captained for a number of years. I spent 3 years in Australia playing club cricket over there, 3 winters, when obviously in the off-season over here.
Oh, yeah.
In my third year there, I was made captain of a grade club, the first foreign player to be made captain of Midland Guildford in Perth, which was a nice honour as well. So I think people have seen that in me from a cricket perspective in terms of leadership. Obviously, I was a club captain at Worcestershire for about roughly 7 years, I think. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I've necessarily worked particularly hard on it. I think I've learned from others. I mean, picking up Solanke, Graham Hick, those kind of people that are in our dressing room. Coaches, Tom Moody, Steve Rose, these kind of guys that you try and pick the best from, don't you, as you go through. But, yeah, I guess it's something that's come relatively natural to me, if I'm being honest. But it's something that I do think about a lot. And in later life, certainly, I've done a couple of Dale Carnegie courses and things like that on communication skills and stuff. Just tried to broaden my skill set in the area as best I can. I do sort of listen and read a lot of what leaders have said, a lot of autobiographies, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And try and take little bits from everywhere, I guess.
Definitely. It's good to learn from everybody in this. If you've got those examples in the dressing room as well, it's...
One thing I do think about this, it's got to be you. You can take bits from everybody, but ultimately you've got to be true to yourself and in your values and your thoughts, because if you try and make things up as you go along or try and be somebody else, then people see straight through that. So I think you have to be authentic and do things in your own way and put your own stamp on things as well.
Yeah, 100%. I wanted to talk about a few different parts of the PCA. There's what would you say the state of youth cricket is at the moment? Do you have anything, bearing in mind what you've just said, do you have any sort of direction that you'd like to take youth cricket, or any schemes or ways of building it up and getting people
playing? Yeah, I mean, we are the Professional Cricket Association, so I suppose grassroots and youth cricket doesn't necessarily fall under our remit, but obviously it is important because obviously they're the next generation of professional cricket. I mean, our members come as soon as they sign a professional contract, so they're all sort of 18 plus. But we definitely pay a lot of interest and have a lot of educational programs that go into county academies, which take sort of from 14 to 18, that sort of age group. And then obviously, as with everything really, I suppose sort of prevention and highlighting the pitfalls that come with a professional career as early as you can.
Sure.
And trying to drum into people the sort of the need to be able to plan for that transition out the game, and that the value of the education that you can do alongside your cricket as you go through, getting sort of that into play as early as possible. Obviously, hopefully, that bodes well for the futures, along with, like I say, the pitfalls, things like anti-corruption, anti-doping education, things like that. But vitally important, as well as your health and well-being and mental health and educational platforms like that. The sooner we can start doing that, I think the better coming through.
Brilliant. And how has women's cricket come on in the last, how long has it been going? I have no idea at all about the women's side to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the biggest area of growth in the game, as in most sports, I would say, actually. Sure. Obviously, it's I think I just alluded to earlier, there's been 40 new full-time professionals come into the game last October, so this will be their first summer as fully-fledged professionals and therefore PCA members, which is fantastic news. There's some decent structures being put in place in terms of domestic cricket in this country for them to play at. The Rachel Hayhoe Flynn Trophy is 50 overs, the Regional Centre T20 competition as well as the 100, which will be mirror the fixtures of the men's competition when that starts this year. So in addition to our members who are the England women's cricket team, the 17 centrally contracted professional women's players that are currently out in New Zealand, actually just had a nice little one day series win over in New Zealand, which is really positive as well. So it's a huge growth area for us on the commercial side, as well as we have an entity called the England Women's Player Partnership, EWPP, which is growing. We've just added 4 new board members to that, and hopefully with a view to commercially growing the game for the benefit of the players from our side as well.
Yeah, brilliant. I think you pretty much touched on it while I was there, but my last sort of question is, what does the future hold? I mean, what does it hold for cricket, and what does it hold for you personally, do you feel?
Yes, well, if I start with me personally, definitely cricket's been a huge part of my life. Well, since I left school, really, went to university on a university contract. That's all I've sort of known for work-wise, really, since I left school. So really keen to be a part of cricket moving forward, or certainly sport. That's my one passion. So, like I said earlier, I've gone away from the coaching side of things and definitely down the sports administration. I just feel like I can have an impact off the field, hopefully as big as I've had on it. So I think that's me from a personal point of view. And for a game and from the PCA's point of view, like I say, the growth of the women's side of things is paramount. That's certainly a focus for us moving forward. The new competition, the 100, that starts this year in mid-July, it's met some challenges, certainly from the traditional sort of county members. They're not particularly happy with the competition the ECB have brought in, but I think it's paramount from a business side of thing that it works, and the players need to buy into that, and I'm sure we will, and look forward to seeing how that competition develops over this year and beyond, really. And I think another challenge we have is that the global landscape of cricket is changing rapidly with all these new sort of short format competitions all around the world. The traditional sort of county cricket into international cricket landscapes blurred a little bit more now with the opportunities to go and play in competitions like the Big Bash, the IPL. A lot of our members are out in the PSL, the Pakistan Super League at the moment, so different revenues and the way we manage schedules and things are going to be very important moving forward.
Brilliant. Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like quite exciting. A lot going on. Thank you very much for coming on today. It's really eye-opening for me. I mean, I haven't personally played cricket since pretty much since school. I did enjoy it, but was never particularly much at it. But yeah, it's a fantastic sport and it's brilliant for Worcestershire. And thank you very much for coming on, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you for having me. It's been enjoyable. Cheers.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
Pleasure, Nick. Thank you.
Thanks for your time. Bye now.